Chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Okay. I forgot my illustration at home. We had two really ripe bananas on our counter, and then we had two that were just nice and yellow. And when I say really ripe, I mean they're no longer yellow. Okay, you got the picture? And I forgot my illustration. I was going to dangle my two baggies over the pulpit here, but I forgot. So I'm sorry. You just have to picture it in your mind. Okay. It was kind of like last night at the Gaffney's. Some like marshmallows black, you know, and some like them nice and brown. I didn't see any yellow marshmallows, but I don't know if there's any of you that love bananas really black. You know, I don't know about that. But Galatians chapter 5, shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your grace. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit, that we would not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I pray, Lord, for the sake of thy great name, that you would help us to protect the names with which we were given when we were born, our family and personal first names, last names, Lord, that Lord, that you would help us not to bring reproach upon that name that would possibly cause hardship for other Christians or would turn anyone away from your name or from your house. And so, Lord, please help us there. And I pray that you would just bless our study tonight now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, looking at the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. The fruits of the flesh are these two black bananas. I mean, they are so rotten. If you only knew what was in banana bread, amen? You ladies know, but none of you guys know. Next time you eat banana bread, just think about it. Ask your wife, what is in that? All right? It's kind of like I think Brother Jim, I think you told me once it was pickles. I like pickles. How many of you like pickles? Brother Jim told me about one time someplace where he's hauled and did some trucking. They had these big vats of pickles. And I remember him saying, if you knew what flew over and crawled around and dropped in the pickles, you'd never eat another pickle. I've heard that about hot dogs. I've heard that about a lot of different food. If you only knew. Our daughter used to like fish when she was little until we went and caught some fish and she watched me fillet those fish in our basement. She's never liked fish since, okay? If we only knew. So the fruits of the flesh, the black bananas, the fruits of the spirit, the nice yellow ones, okay? So let's read down through here again in verse 19, Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we've been looking at this first fruit of the flesh from verse 19. We began on this morning, adultery. So as we're trying to look at this morning, ran out of time, it's an inward thing. It's in our spirit. We need to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so the only way to guard our actions is to guard our heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, all these politicians and the different positions they take on the issues. Well, is it not the same way with Christians, Christianity? All these different positions on biblical doctrine, some for, some against. And so keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Where will we stand or not stand? As I told you not too long, just a few weeks ago, I heard a ka-thump out by the road early in the morning, and here I see this car pulling over, and the steam was just rolling out of it. Now, when people get all worked up to sin, there's some gauges or sometimes lights. Sometimes they're called idiot lights. I apologize. Maybe I shouldn't say that word. I don't know. But anyway, that's what I've heard them called. For people that can't read or don't read gauges. But the problem is that some of those lights come on when it's almost too late. Some of those vehicles, when the oil light comes on, that you're low on oil, it might be too late already. Or by the time the light comes on that it's overheated, some of these cars with aluminum heads and intakes and different things, it might be too late. It might already be warped. It might already be ruined. So we've got to stay in the Word of God. That's our gauge for our lives, to keep us right inside. Okay, we just got to keep reading through the Bible. Notice with me in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Now, for all of us, the only way to have the right thoughts is to read God's Word, because the Bible tells us our thoughts are not His thoughts. And so there's just no other way to get around it other than read the Bible. Be a daily Bible reader. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his what? His way. So the wicked is known because of his way. And the unrighteous man, his what? Thought. So if we have the wrong thoughts, God considers us as unrighteous. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my what? Thoughts than your thoughts. So, how can we have the mind of God? We need to read the Bible. Read the Bible. There's just no other way around it. So that's what we need to do. Why did Eve sin? She sinned in her thoughts. Notice Genesis 3. Genesis 3. She thought it through. And as I said, Lord willing, a week from Tuesday are the primaries. And I'd encourage you, vote in the primary, because the only choices you're going to have in November is whatever was decided a week from Tuesday night. So if primary voting is usually very small, but that's what determines the choices we have in November. So we can't complain about November if we're not voting in August. I was going to say September, but that don't work. Okay, make it August. Be a little late in September. Genesis 3:6. And when the woman, what? Saw that the tree was what? Good for food. How do you know it's good for food, Eve? You haven't tasted of it yet. What was happening? Her eye. She saw that the tree was good for food. She's thinking that in her mind. It looks good. Now, some of you, when you see a pineapple, your mouth waters. When I see a pineapple, my mouth doesn't water. I'm sorry. That's right. I owe Brother Randy a strawberry sundae or pineapple sundae. Better make it. Yeah. When you were down in Texas, I was talking about you, so I said in a message I'd have to buy you a ice cream. It was good, what I was saying about you, wasn't it? So anyway, amen. Brother Randy loves pineapple, doesn't like strawberries. I love strawberries. I don't care for pineapple. Okay. Brother Jim, I'll buy him a pea sundae. Amen. He loves peas. Amen. Well, I will make that hot fudge or something different. We'll do something different here. But she saw that the tree was good for food. So it looked good. So she didn't just run over there and grab it without looking and stick it in her mouth. She thought about it. She thought about it. Well, it doesn't look that bad. It looks good. And then it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she's thinking, well, the serpent said, if I eat of it, I'm going to be smarter. Kind of like Brother Jim and Brother Bob was complimenting our young people. It must be because of all the smarties they eat. Amen? I mean, they're smart. They're a smart group. After church, they're always running around with smarties. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but Eve is thinking through this. If I eat this fruit, the serpent says I'll be wiser for it. And that is our problem. We need to vote Tuesday, week from Tuesday, but we can never let our flesh vote when it comes to sin, because it'll always choose wrong. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. It's weak. So the flesh will never come of age, even though the government says it does. The government says you come of age to vote. The government says you come of age to drink or smoke. Well, the government sometimes is wrong. It's okay that you come of age to vote. It's not, you never come of age to drink. You never come of age to smoke. And so we never come of age to allow the flesh to decide. Okay, should I eat of this or not? The flesh will always vote the wrong way. In Joshua 7, you can just note it if you want. We won't turn there, but it's the same thing with Achan. When he saw, he coveted and took. In Joshua 7, 19 through 21. So, sin, the battle over sin is won or lost in the mind and the heart. So that's where we got it. Let's go back to Galatians 5, because we want to use the fruits to help us through this. We all need help. If anyone says, I don't need any help in any of that, well, they need help for their lying. Okay, because our flesh is weak. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. If we use the fruit of the Spirit, it'll help conquer in verse 19 so we don't commit adultery. Not just outwardly, but in our minds. Remember, Jesus said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And so we've got to stop it there. We can't look and lust. And so this fruit of the Spirit, love, will help us there. Because biblical love is not a gimme thing. Biblical love is a giving thing. No me on the end. It's a giving thing. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. People criticize the King James Bible over all kinds of things, but one thing is this chapter here, commonly called the love chapter, and so they criticize it for using the word charity. Well, what better word to describe biblical love than charity? Because biblical love is giving. I mean, even the IRS discerns your giving. Okay, you say it's charitable giving. What did you get in return? Well, if you gave to a church, but they gave you a family Bible or tapes or whatever, then the IRS says, well, what's the value of that tape or that Bible? And they will deduct that. They don't consider that charitable giving because we got something in return. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not what? Her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never what? Faileth. Charity never faileth. And when we get married, that is what we're pledging. We will not forsake one another. And so that's the biblical mandate there in Galatians 5 back there. So the love, the fruit of the Spirit, the first one listed. Sometimes children play little games, and like one thing conquers another, and oh, they have a little thing with their hands they do. I think it's called rock, paper, scissors. I never quite got into that, never figured out what conquered what. But I played chess a little bit. It's been years and years. I don't remember what takes what. So other than I think the king, well, I don't know, I better not get into that. But the first fruit of the flesh listed is adultery in verse 19. The first fruit of the spirit mentioned is love. Love will conquer the adultery. True love will conquer the adultery thing if we have that charitable love. The love for the Lord. So many verses here. Let's go ahead and turn to some of these. Matthew 22, the first thing that will conquer us for falling and from thinking and dwelling on that sin is a love for God. A love for God. In Matthew 22, we are to love God supremely. Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. Notice it didn't say first actions. We've already seen why. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Matthew 12, 34. And so as we're here, we're to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love is so powerful. You read the Song of Solomon. Love is powerful. And over it says, stir not up my love till he please. You don't want to stir up love for the wrong person. You only want to stir up love for the right person at the right time. And that's why we are so deceived by the dating game that goes on in the world. So deceived. That whole thing is meant to stir up love that is not committed. It's not promised. And so you have all these broken hearts. And the sad thing is, then you never quite feel totally comfortable around someone. Someone that you've been really attached to, and especially if you marry someone else someday and they know at one time you were emotionally attached to someone. They don't want to be around that one. Why? Because they don't want old feelings of yours stirred up again. And so they want to protect you. They want to keep you away from that. And so when it says here we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And notice with me in Exodus chapter 20, we're not to covet. And one thing we are not to covet is our neighbor's wife. Now, if you become attached to someone that will not become your husband or wife, then you are becoming attached to someone that's going to be married to someone else someday. And that's not good. You notice Exodus 20 and down verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's what? Wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And I don't know. We just live in a world that is so far divorced from God's will. And I mean, the average idea in the world is, hey, you've got a date. To know if you really like the person. Well, you know what? The first thing that God did for Adam was create his wife. And notice in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, do you realize God never asked Adam one thing about his wife, what he would like in a wife? He didn't say, Adam, would you like a brunette, a redhead, a blonde, or some combination? Adam, would you like to look at blue eyes, brown eyes, green eyes, combination, hazel eyes? Adam, would you like to look eye to eye at your wife? Or do you want to look down on your wife? Oh, we're going to get in trouble on that one. Or would you like to look up to your wife? What height would you like her? Adam, what weight would you like your wife? We're not going to go anywhere with that one, okay? God didn't ask him any questions about that. In verse 21, Genesis 2, 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. That's it, Adam. When I create this one, you're not going to have any say in it. You're going to be sleepy. Deep sleep. He slept and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh there instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto Adam. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and now flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall what? Cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So he says here, you know what? A man needs to cleave to his wife. You know what that means? He was very satisfied with what God chose. Very satisfied. And you know, when it comes to in the Bible, choosing Jacob went out, was sent out by his parents to choose his own wife. He came back with four. And he came back with a father-in-law that he'd had a lot of deception, a lot of trouble. So that wasn't too great of a thing. So God knows more than we do. He really does. When Abraham's servant went out to take a wife for Isaac, the servant said nothing about looks. It was only about ambition. And that's exactly the test that he gave. So, a love for God, a love for our neighbor, a trust. And so, we don't want to get attached to someone that is not the one for us someday. And I just know, I mean, I know that sounds so weird to the world. So weird. I don't know, it's blessed my heart as I've watched our children get married and watch that they save things for the wedding. That first kiss. And I know what young people are thinking, you know, you want me to kiss someone for the very first time in front of a crowd of people with no practice? Well, I've watched it several times now, and it seems to be fine, okay? Seems to be fine. The problem is this. If you kind of what the world says is play the field, and then finally you find the right one, the problem is in your mind, you're always comparing this one to that one, this one to that one. And that's just set up for trouble. So notice with me, so the first thing here is in our lives to use the good fruit of love to overcome the fruits of the bad fruits of the flesh. And notice the second good thing there in Galatians 5:22 is joy. Now, how is joy going to keep us from lusting and committing adultery? How is joy going to stop that, prevent that? Well, now that you're in Galatians 5, let's go to Proverbs 5. You say, I just got there. Proverbs 5. How is joy going to keep me from sinning? Proverbs 5 and lusting, committing adultery. Proverbs 5, verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed and what? Rejoice. Rejoice with who? The wife of thy youth. Verse 19, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou what? Ravished always with her love. Notice the contrast now, verse 20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a what? Strange woman. With a woman that is not your wife. Or sometimes the Bible uses the word strange in the sense of unsaved. Ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger. Verse 20 is contrasting. It seems if you have joy in your relationship with your spouse, why in the world, verse 20, would you choose a strange? Why would you be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? That should seem so foreign. That's like we were talking about before church started tonight about people who like when they're cooking or doing things in the kitchen to, you know, everybody dips their finger and stuff and begins to taste things and so on. And so that kind of grosses, you know, some people out. You know, maybe you're used to that in a home. Maybe you know where those little fingers have been, and then maybe you don't know where those little fingers have been. But we should look at the same way. It's like, hug her. I mean, that's the way it should seem, because she is not my wife. That's the idea here. It shouldn't bring joy and good thoughts. For the Christian, being immoral or thinking the wrong thoughts does not bring joy. It brings great remorse and great regret in the end. Notice Psalm 51. Psalm 51, the Lord caused David to write this after he had sinned with Bathsheba. And notice the great grief and remorse he has. In Psalm 51, and verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. What's the first word of verse 2? Wash. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I what? I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is what? Ever before me. Just remember that. Before you sin, if you go ahead and do it, it'll always be with you. It'll always be before you. So don't do it. He said, my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned. Here he's acknowledging. Remember, our first duty is to love God with all of our hearts. He's acknowledging here in verse 4, first and foremost, I've sinned against you, God. And done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth, where? In the inward part. See, it starts inside. And in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It's that feeling, Lord, cleanse me. I'm sorry for my sin. Verse 8, make me to hear what? Joy. Why not have the joy of Proverbs 5 instead of the loss of joy from sinning? Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me what? Clean heart. That's where it starts. Oh God, and renew a right what? Spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the what? Joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And on he goes. So the good fruit, the Holy Spirit fruit of joy in our relationships will keep us from the immoral relationships. In Galatians 5, the third thing for it was peace, love, joy, and peace. And let's go to Isaiah 26. How will peace keep us from immorality? How does it do that? In Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah chapter 26, The fruit of peace. One of the fruits of this of the Holy Spirit is peace, love, joy, peace. In verse 3, Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Here's where it's going to help. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Well, how is this going to help? Peace, perfect peace, is when our mind is stayed on the Lord. Well, if we love him, keep my commandments, he says. So, if we have peace, the fruit of the Spirit, then our minds are going to be focused, they're going to be stayed on the Lord. And so if we're stayed on the Lord, we're not going to allow ourselves to think through a sin. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we want to give the Lord our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 10, 5, if our minds are stayed on the Lord, they're not going to be stayed on sin. They're not going to be dwelling on sin. And 2 Corinthians 10, 5, casting down what? Imaginations. Do you realize before the flood, that was one of the things God said, that the imaginations of man were only evil continually. And it was back then, in Genesis 6 there, I believe, that they were taking them wives of all which they chose. So, it's the same issue as we're dealing with right here. So we need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to what? The obedience of Christ. So if our minds are stayed on him, we're not going to be able to think through sin. Okay, just real quickly, using these other fruits of the Spirit against this first bad fruit of the flesh. Number 4 is long-suffering. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Let me give you the definition of long-suffering. It's bearing injuries or provocation for a long time, patient, not easily provoked. What causes the first love to fade away in our hearts? It's selfishness. It's selfishness. Because first love is only concerned with the other person. When the first love fades in our marriage or in any relationship, our relationship with God, when the first love fades, it's like, hey, we've eaten at Burger King the last 7 times. I want to eat at McDonald's or Arby's or Subway or Taco Bell. Listen, you've had your way 7 times. It's my turn. First love just... That's what does it. It is. The first love is when we are just 100% concerned with pleasing the other person. And when we get to the point where, hey, I'm tired of that. I've allowed you to do your thing and blah, 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 you know. And, you know, what hurts most about that is that it's not that the other person usually would not be willing, but it's the words. The words is what hurts. And so we have to be long-suffering, bearing injuries or provocation for a long time, patient, not easily provoked. A husband or wife that has been hurt by words, is the problem is it builds up. Now, you ladies have better memories for things like that than us guys. Maybe it's because we can't control our mouths as much. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Maybe it's because we don't want to remember those things. But normally, ladies can remember more of those things. They pay attention to detail more than men. And so they remember words. And it's not worth it. It's not worth it to get upset and to want our way. That is always a poor trade for the first love. Because when we have a first love for someone, normally they will show it back. I mean, you can always find exceptions, but so that's always a poor trade to say, hey, it's my way this time. There's a young man we had in Bible Institute some years ago. And of course, he was not engaged to any young lady as of yet. And he always liked to say, yeah, when I get married, I'm going to tell her it's my way or the highway. You know, that's what he always said. I don't think it's quite like that. He is married now. We see him once in a while. I don't think it's quite like that. So we have to be long-suffering. Anything that hurts the first love, always a poor trade. Poor trade. Never worth it. So we have to be long-suffering. The fifth fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Being mean and ornery many times has driven spouses right into the arms of someone else. We've got to be gentle. The next one, the fruit of the Spirit, is goodness. That's number six, goodness. Something good is beneficial. That's why your mom and dad says, eat your vegetables. They're good for you. Hey, we found a place for all that zucchini, Green Acres. Okay? We've been kind of joking about it. You know, that's the first thing, it seems like, that comes out of the garden is zucchini, and it doesn't seem to ever stop. You know, it's kind of like manna, or maybe like the quails. You know, it comes out your nostrils almost. You know, you get tired of it. Well, Green Acres said they could use it. So, amen. Goodness, beneficial in our lives. Be beneficial. Do beneficial things for each other, not spiteful things. Beneficial things. Romans chapter 12 says, even if we do those things to our enemies, it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. In other words, it makes them feel bad because we're doing good things for them. Number seven is faith. How will faith keep us from the bad fruit of adultery? Well, because faith comes from the Bible, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we're keeping in the Bible, it'll keep us clean. Number eight is the good fruit of meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not thinking of self. Moses, the Bible says, was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. But he was certainly not weak. He killed a man who was treating another man wrong. He was not weak. When he came down from that mountain and saw them worshiping the golden calf and dancing and naked, you know what he did? He took that golden calf and ground it into powder and strode it on the water and made them drink of it. Do you think he had to force some of them to get down there and drink? Well, you just don't throw junk in water and people just get down there and lap it up, you know. So Moses was not weak. He was meek, though. The Bible says he was meek. He didn't think of self. When he came down, he had righteous indignation. He had a zeal for God, these people. I told my class this morning, I said, to illustrate that, I said, what would happen if you were away from Liberty Baptist Church for 40 days, like Moses was up on the mount for 40 days, and you came back, and, sorry, Brother Jim, I used you for an illustration. I says, what if Brother Jim had sandals and shorts and a Hawaiian shirt, and unbuttoned a few buttons with a big gold necklace, and somebody said you had to have longer hair. So I says, well, in 40 days, I don't think girls long enough. So we had a wig, and we had you with electric guitar, and there was a full set of drums up here, and you come and say, no, this can't be. Is this Liberty Baptist Church? What happened? Well, can you imagine? And Brother Jim would never do that. Apologize, Brother Jim, for using it for an illustration. I should have used myself for an illustration. But can you imagine Moses coming back down from the mountain after only 40 days? And they were worshiping a golden calf. They were dancing and naked, Exodus 32 says. Wouldn't that be a shocker? I mean, he broke those Ten Commandments. He broke them. And you might be up so upset that you rip your Bible right in two. I don't know. I hear there's a woman out east of town that her husband is a construction worker and her sons, and I don't know why, and I don't know which phone book they tried, but the guys tried ripping the phone book in two and couldn't, but she did. So don't mess with her, I guess. Another lesson is, don't try to show off in front of your wife. She might show off, beat you, make you look bad. So, the good fruit of meekness. Moses was zealous for the Lord. Meekness is not weakness. It's not thinking of self. And the last one, verse or number 9 there in Galatians 2:26 or 23. That's temperance. So temperance is patience, calmness, moderation, so control. So these things, these good fruits, sure wish I had my illustration with me. Boy, those black bananas gross you right out, you know. Unless you like banana bread, just remember next time. And those good bananas, how much better to show forth the good fruit in our lives than the bad fruit. And this good fruit will overpower the bad fruit. So we need to let the Holy Spirit rule and reign. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. That is our prayer. And Lord, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We think David was a man after your own heart, and yet in one evening he fell into this first sin of the flesh. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to realize these fruits of the Spirit we desperately need in our lives. So have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.